for the background, and thank you for the invitation to be here and share a little bit of what I've been doing for the past 9 years. Through the generosity of a couple I met in Raleigh, North Carolina, I'm able to spend a lot of my time working on matters pertaining to the next generation. A little bit about my story. I was born in Taiwan and came to the U.S. when I was 8, and grew up in Virginia for middle school and high school, and then went to Virginia Tech for college. Came to Christ during those college years and started walking with the Lord, but it took me a while. I'm a slow learner, so it took me a while to really get some traction with that. Took a leap of faith after working 3 years as an engineer. Went to Dallas Seminary for 5 years. Pastored for about 5 years, 2 years in a typical intergenerational Chinese church in Raleigh, and then 3 years in Northern Virginia as an associate pastor. So I spent a whole decade of my life trying to be a pastor. And I can do it okay, but who wants an okay pastor? My story is trying to bring convergence between my giftedness, my desire, and passions. Most of my life I've ran those on separate tracks, and there might be something in our Chinese culture that does that, but I've been working hard at bringing those two together by the grace of God, and He's given me a opportunity to do that. And so with L Squared Foundation, I've been on the executive team for 9 years, developing leadership and legacy for Asian Americans. So through the generosity of Paul and Alice Chu, who I met in Raleigh, North Carolina when I was youth pastor to their kids, they set up a foundation and they've been investing in the next generation. Typically we've been gathering key leaders, helping them to learn from each other and then sharing those learnings with the public. So two examples of that, we've been able to publish two books, one on Asian American youth ministry and one on Asian American theology. And those are available online for purchase. I've got one copy of the youth ministry book if you want to flip through it, just $10 each. And as Waylon said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could learn from each other? And I get the sense that in our Asian American context, even English speaking, that we still have a very strong oral tradition. And a lot of these learnings haven't been written down and passed along. So I was very excited to see the CD on the back table with FACE newsletters, because that's a whole repository of learnings from the previous generation of ABC pastors who have pioneered. And we stand on their shoulders to continue what we're doing to reach the next generation. Okay, I'm gonna rapid fire through this. I think I do better when we're in dialogue and conversation, but the opportunity is huge. The other thing I should mention is I also work with Leadership Network now. So through a partnership between L Squared Foundation and Leadership Network, I'm really able to work with developing next-gen Asian Americans. And Leadership Network has been working under the radar, connecting innovators to multiply their impact. So that's a dream job for me, to get to connect churches, connect with pastors and ministry leaders, and connect them to each other and to resources to expand God's kingdom. So I want to show you how big the opportunity is and show you a few examples of ministries that are effective in reaching the next generation and where this ministry could go in terms of expanding God's kingdom and reaching people. Latest numbers, over 15 million Asian Americans in the U.S., 3.54 million are Chinese American, 1.4 million in the L.A. County area. So as I say, there's a lot of people, and even with 1,000-plus Asian American churches, whether it's ethnic Asian, intergenerational, or English-speaking second gen, I don't think that's enough to reach the 1.4 million. There's not enough seats, for one. This is a picture of just where Asian Americans are and where it's trending. The purple spots are where the growth rate has been over 1%. Okay, so that's where it's trending. By the way, these slides are available at djchuang.com, so you can download that and we can continue a conversation there. There's also tremendous growth among the darker hued Asian Americans, Filipino, Indian, and Vietnamese. So huge opportunities there. 56% of Asian Americans are unchurched. So I would like to see the conversation shift from how do we keep our English-speaking Asians in church towards, and the numbers here say, how do we reach the next generation of Asian Americans, and what kind of church will it take? That kind of dramatically changes that conversation. And I don't hear that a lot, but that's the opportunity. 25% are under the age of 18, so huge opportunities there. So rather than only focusing on the huge flow of immigrants coming to the US, we've kind of neglected this whole segment that we also need to be reaching and ministering to. 42% of Asian Americans are born in the US. This is from a 2008 research. Just to give you a sense, again, these numbers kind of flow in and out, but to say, man, there's a lot of people we could be reaching with English ministry of whatever form. Almost 70% speak English very well. This is in the US. And then there's over 450 million native English-speaking people around the world. So because of our times, because of internet, because of multinationals, because we're in a global village, English is really facilitating the gospel, if we would kind of ride that wave, to use Rick Warren's language. Four stages of organizational decline, just to give you a picture of what happens to any church or organization. When a church starts, it's a very creative phase. It moves towards management and things are stable for a while. And we kind of wish that stability would last a lifetime, but it doesn't quite work that way. The organization over time will become defensive, start towards decline, and might move into something called blaming as it dies. And that's just a natural life cycle, just as we as humans have. And this is from Mark Driscoll's book. So the window of opportunity is this, that as your church reaches a pretty stable managing phase, you want to move from point A up the green curve to another life cycle. Rather than going just from point A to point B and keeping things stable, you have to try new things, whether you call it innovation or making the most of opportunity. You have to try new things and find renew your church and how you do ministry to give it more life and to reach more people. A couple examples of how Asian ministries have been modeled over the span of its existence. Typically, an ethnic Asian church starts as a house. One big happy family, everybody under one roof, leadership under one roof, and the desire and the value we have for quote-unquote unity and being together as a family. And that's good, that's a great start, but we soon outgrow the house as we reproduce, and then as the gospel takes root and changes people and brings them to Christ. Another model that kind of grows out of that house is a duplex model. As you see, it's still under one roof. So under one elder board or deacon board, a Chinese ministry and an English ministry will coexist, but it's under one leadership team. Some of those churches may move on towards a townhouse model. So you have some independence between the Chinese ministry and English ministry. I'll just use Chinese since it's a majority of us here. And this may look differently depending on your church, whether it's a independent Chinese church and a independent English church with a stated agreement or implied agreement that they stay on one campus and have shared ministries or something like that. It's kind of a townhouse model. A hotel, you can, this is a picture to say some churches will use one brand for their church, maybe preach through the same sermon series, have the same values, same approach to ministry, but having them in separate rooms or separate language tracks. So tie it together with a strong values connection, but allowing them to flourish in different tracks. And then this is a model that I've been playing around with, is a multiplex model. I think we just moved out here to California 2 years ago. So I'm in South Orange County, Aliso Viejo. And this is actually a theater that's just down the street from my house. Multiplex model is something that's happening with mostly Anglo churches in the sense of, just as you can see different movies in a theater, you can also go to different worship experiences on a campus. So closest example here is Saddleback. You can go to the big auditorium for the contemporary jazz kind of style of music, or you can go to one of the tents for a gospel praise worship experience. You can go to one called Edge, which is loud and grungy. They used to have a Hawaiian venue and whatever else. So the idea here is, in an ethnic Asian American context, you could have a wide range of different styles of worship, even a teaching team, or you could video share the sermon from one teaching pastor. There is an example of a multiplex model in the Bay Area Chinese Bible Church. It's a 50-year-old church that's moved from an ABC-only plant now with a multiplex model with like 10 different services, including traditional Cantonese and contemporary Cantonese. All on the same campus. Actually, two locations too, so they're multi-site. So there's a lot of learnings there, because once someone else has done it, it tends to free us up as Chinese to, hey, we could maybe try that too. But until someone else does, we might not want to be the first. I don't know what that is, but that's an observation. So that's to say, ministry structures can be multilingual, multi-department, multi-organizational, multi-Asian, multi-ethnic, and multiplying church planting. One observation I'll throw out, we all have seen or experienced some kind of a church split, for lack of a term, actually that's kind of the term people use. But maybe God in His sovereignty wants more churches to be planted. If we don't join that program, then things happen that aren't quite as clean and not quite as celebrated. Okay, Matthew 9:17. This verse helped me to see Asian American ministry in a new light. And this is Jesus telling about wineskins. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskin. If they do, the skin will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskin, and both are preserved. Those last three words really grip me as I understand and respect the first generation Chinese-speaking immigrant ministry, but also realizing as we pour new wine into new wineskin, both will be preserved, and both will be effective in reaching different generations and different cultures. I'll share a few examples of that and open it up for discussion. Some of you may be asking, well, who are these new wineskins, and how are ministries effectively reaching the next generation? Evergreen LA, that's Ken Fong's church now, and as Pastor Waylon alluded to, that's a church that's been around, if I did the math right, 85 years. So founded in 1924 as a first-generation Japanese-American church with Japanese language only. And over the course of time, it's kind of taken that S-curve up and developed Japanese and English ministry, and then kind of a pan-Asian, Japanese and mostly Chinese on the English side, and the Japanese language ministry kind of faded in the background. And now, in this cycle and this season of the church's life, it's becoming more multi-ethnic and more community-based. And so we see a good example of how the leadership of this church has kind of taken the S-curve up, and not so much reinvent itself, but adjusting with where the Spirit seems to be leading and where ministry is effective. How many of you have visited Evergreen? Okay, well, there you go. So you probably know more about this than I do. New Song Church, founded by Dave Gibbons, just over, I think they're on 13th year now. Mm-hmm. And they're multi-site. So it's founded in Irvine, and it's in 7 locations, 3 in Southern Cal, 4 in other parts of the country and around the world. And this is kind of a third culture model, multi-ethnic in the sense of many different kinds of Asians. So it's still about 90-95% Asian American, English only ministry, but tend to be on the loud side and very creative in how they do ministry over the years. How many of you have been to New Song? Okay, great. So you're familiar with some of these. Now, what seems to be happening because of the span of internet, I think communication is much faster. Anything you say now on a blog or Twitter goes around the world instantly. And that has accelerated how ministry models and ideas have reproduced and distributed around the country. So no longer is it a 10-year process for something new that started in Southern Cal to reach the East Coast. It can happen in 10 minutes. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And so I want to share a few examples of effective ministry around the country just to say, hey, it's not Asian American ministry in the English-only, multi-Asian, multi-ethnic sense isn't just Southern Cal. Mm-hmm. This is a church founded by Eugene Cho in Seattle, 6 years old. The Spirit of God really worked there, and a older 75-year-old, mostly white church that was declining and dying, saw God moving through Eugene Cho's leadership and the church that was meeting here in the cafe, and gifted the building to Eugene Cho's congregation and submitted itself to Next Gen leadership. A very multi-ethnic church up there, running about 500 or 600. Grace Covenant Church in Philadelphia, Young Kim's Church. This is kind of a college campus model, so reaching a lot of people on the campus as a church. So another way to reach Next Gen Asian American on the college campus, in addition to what's happening with InterVarsity, WCF, and I'm glad Margaret's here with Epic Movement, so Campus Crusade now also has a contextualized Asian American ministry. Vox Vineyard, here's a church that's kind of countering the whole notion of seeker friendly. You can't even pronounce the name, but here's a, founded by ABC, actually Asian Chinese Canadian, Gideon Tsang, and it was birthed out of Austin Chinese Church. And they're into its second year, very creative ministry, and they have a space that's a community center in East Austin. So they're moving as the hands and feet of Christ to serve those in the lower class, if you will. Okay, let me run through these. So in my research, I found over 100 English-speaking Asian-led churches that are less than 10 years old. So from my vantage point, there's just been exponential growth of English-speaking, Asian-led churches all around the country. And the list of them is online that you can browse through and see what's happening. Some of the characteristics, I've been asked, okay, all these creative ministry, you've given some good examples, what are some of the things that make them different than a typical English ministry in an ethnic Asian church? Well, these churches, because they're autonomous, they tend to have permission to try new things. And they try different things in terms of spirituality, so how they express their spiritual life. They're willing to try some creative things in terms of spiritual formation, an opportunity for healing, counseling, opportunity to really speak to the issues of our life, personally and family-wise. They show a lot of creativity, inspiring worship, so more of a celebratory approach rather than a reverential approach, if I can say it that way. There's a strong movement of social justice among the next generation. So they want to see the world become a better place rather than just seeing people in church becoming more moral, which traditional church seems to value a little more. There's stronger leadership in the sense of organizational leadership. So these churches are okay using management principles in leading the church as an organization, because all truth is God's truth, is the operating assumption. There's a value for excellence. So typically you won't see as much clutter in these churches, and there's a desire to present the gospel in an attractive way that's culturally relevant. This is a great example of something that a first-generation church can do for the second generation. Sarang Church right here in Anaheim, one of the largest Korean-American churches, if not the largest ethnic Korean church, has set aside an annual fund for church planting by the second generation. And putting money shows you where your heart is. And so rather than only restricting English-speaking Chinese Americans, in our case, to be in the church, and how can we keep them? Well, how can we reach the 56% that are unchurched? So that's a great example right here. So what can existing churches do? Evangelize in new ways, cultivate creativity, raising up young leaders, support church planting with prayer, people, and funds. I couldn't find a third piece, so if you can help me alliterate, that would be great. So Craig Rochelle, to reach people no one else is reaching, do things no one else is doing. Options for English ministry. How many of you are in English ministry within an ethnic Asian church? Okay. So I want to speak to that a little bit, because I've kind of shown you independent ways of reaching the next generation. What can an English ministry do? Well, this is based on a discussion that spanned over 4 to 6 months from an English pastor's fellowship, kind of like this, in the Washington, D.C. area. And they kicked around and really looked for solutions to what can an English ministry do. Rather than just hashing around issues, and there's part of us that can kick around the issues back and forth and question people's motive, question people's spirituality, question people's theology, question people's cultures. But what are the solutions that actually work? Okay, so here's the options. And they felt it was exhaustive, and knowing the wisdom and experience in this room, you can probably add to this list. You can coexist peacefully with status quo. You can make small changes over a long time. You can have two churches on one campus. That's kind of the townhouse model. You can launch out as a church plant in a friendly way. Or you can church split in an unfriendly way. And you can move to a new ministry. So resign and then move to a new ministry. All right, so what I hope I've done is paint a picture of how we can let 1,000 flowers bloom. Rather than being stuck with looking for solutions, why don't we try some new things and allow God to lead in that effort, because God certainly wants to reach more people for Christ. And there are many outside the church that need to be reached. And if our current churches could reach them, they would be coming, but they're not. So maybe a new way and a new church and a new form can reach them and make the gospel attractive.
That's
great. So these slides will be at the L-Square blog, and I want to make some time for discussion before lunch arrives. And when I saw the registration list for this gathering, I was like, wow, there's a lot of wisdom in this room, and we can learn a lot from each other. And you're on the front lines of ministry. I actually don't get to do Asian American ministry hands-on, but I get to watch it and tell your stories. So I would love to hear your reaction and what you're learning as you reach and minister to the next generation. Yes?
Real quickly, your definition of Asian American is, what is your definition of Asian American?
English speaking, second generation.
English native speaking.
English speaking. Not necessarily native, but willing to do ministry in English.
Okay.
And there's a good third. I mean, I've seen some numbers in terms that there's a good third of first generation that say they speak English very well, and they may very well do ministry in an English context. And case in point would be, look at the Asian American population, even among first generation at your large mega churches, like Calvary Chapel, like Saddleback. There's a church in New York City called Redeemer Presbyterian Church, pastored by Tim Keller. They're like 40 to 50% Asian American, but yet all the leadership is mostly white. Yeah, so what's going on there? But in a sociological perspective, Asian American is this huge umbrella that encompasses 34 ethnicities, and it's a huge umbrella that covers first to second to sixth generation. But I tend to use that language towards English speaking, so I'm looking at this English speaking half, because this seems to be underserved, and there's more learnings to be had here. And we need a language to facilitate understanding. When you look at the first generation half, you've got 34 different languages, and I don't know too many that speak multiple Asian languages to do the translation and connect. So my assumption is we can learn so much from each other. Let's get that conversation going. And that's how I use the web. The web is really awesome. How many of you use Skype chat to talk with your friends and relatives? Yeah, look at that. So you know, if I can say this for you, you have permission to use Skype chat to talk with each other between meetings. You know? And there's no reason the wisdom and the learnings from best practices to lessons learned from experiments that don't quite work cannot be shared more openly. And there's ways to share it in a private online forum, whether it's Ning or Facebook or whatever, but there's no reason that these conversations have to be so rare. The other thing I've said is there's no annual national conference where those of us interested in these issues can come together and be encouraged and spurred each other on. And our seminaries aren't particularly contextualizing the gospel to our generation either. And so we try to plug and play. We sing the same songs as any mainstream evangelical church, whether it's Chris Tomlin and Dave Crowder and Maranatha Praise or Vineyard, for those of you that are older. We sing the same songs. We teach the Bible the same way we've learned in seminary, but yet it's not penetrating and getting into the depth of who we are as Chinese Americans. And I think there's an opportunity there, and I think the gospel can do much more transformation in our context. I can talk about this all day, all weekend. I don't have enough for a semester, but I have enough for a weekend. Yes?
Are you familiar with Francis Chan?
Yes, I am.
Valley? Have you done any studies or profiling of his ministry?
Francis Chan is a popular conference speaker, kind of on the A-list, and he's actually going to be on he just got confirmed for a conference somewhere. Is it Saddleback? Or
probably.
Just showed up on Twitter today. He is a second-generation Chinese-American, grew up in Hong Kong and has that Chinese family background. But he pastors a church in Simi Valley that's about 6,000, Cornerstone Simi Valley, and it's mostly white, which fits the context in terms of the demographics. But far as in my phone conversation, and based on secondhand information, he's really not connected or engaged with Asian American ministry. And that's okay. God can call people to different contexts. Mm-hmm. But that's what Francis Chan seems to be called to. Okay. And so there's an online discussion about, you know, is Francis Chan a sellout? Now, that's a provocative question to get you a click. If you actually read the thread, it's not about that, but it certainly raises your attention. It's gotten over 130 comments in just a couple weeks.
He is very popular with college Asian Americans.
Yeah, so he cut his teeth doing youth and college ministry, and now, you know, as that generation grows to young adults, he's very popular on the conference circuit. So is it Youth for Christ or the other one? Youth Specialties. So he was in that circuit, and you get to be a better communicator by. You learn to preach by preaching. He's had a lot of opportunity to really get home. So he's an incredible communicator. Yes?
There's a question. Since you're on the broader scale of understanding and seeing Asian Americans as a whole, we're seeing a trend in our church as well as UCLA among Asian Americans. And I wonder if it's just a Southern California or it's nationwide. And whether, but the trend is fundamentalism. We're moving toward, you can call it reform theology, whatever, an extreme kickback to everybody. So
sure.
Do you find that that's a general trend?
Yeah, that's happening around the country. And it's not just neo-reformed. My observation has been that in these times of ambiguity, people are attracted to something that's polarizing. So whether it's very progressive, emerging church kind of thing, or Reformed, or Orthodox, or passionate charismatic, those are polarizing approaches to following Jesus, and people are gravitating towards those. If you're kind of mainstream evangelical, it's kind of plain vanilla, and people aren't engaging with it. And so there's something about that. Margaret is here, and she's a part of Epic Movement, which is a national contextualized second-generation Asian American ministry. Would you take a minute to speak to what you're seeing around the country and how you're contextualizing ministry for the next gen?
I'm not sure if I can address that. I would agree with him on that.
You can stand up so that everyone can hear you.
I would agree with what Dee says, that there is a trend and there is ambiguity. You either swing this way or that way because it's more, you have more control. When things are great, you go, whatever. So I would agree with you on that. And I think there is a trend in terms of, with Asian American ministry that I'm excited about is the spiritual formation aspect that he talked about. And I think the thing, whether it's Chinese American church or Korean American church, the thing that we can do as Chinese Americans or Asian Americans to realize that in spiritual formation, to really understand it, it's actually a helpful thing culturally. For instance, spiritual formation, transformation only happens, can truly happen when you know who you really are. And when I go, okay, I don't really feel like reading the Bible. I know myself and I know how I feel and my temptations, but I submit that to God. But that which you do not know, that which you don't talk about, you cannot really transform truly to God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so when we look at culture, so I think what I love is when we talk about culture in that context, that we can teach spiritual transformation and formation in that context. For people to go, well, you know what? I'm Chinese American, and some of my family background has affected how I see God, and I have to submit that to God. And so for us in Asian American ministry, contextualizing it for our college students is to teach them about all the things that make up who you are, not just Chinese culture, but your family culture, your regional culture, your gender culture, so that as we are talking about self-awareness, then we can grow in God awareness, and then we can truly be transformed. And so that's how we look at leadership development and raising up Asian American leaders. So I would encourage you to think about that, and even in a Chinese culture, I think you could do ministry here, but we don't talk about how our Confucianism in Chinese culture affects us, or Buddhism affects us. So I think the more we can talk about that under Christ and in community to help each other grow, the more we'll see transformation and leadership. So,
thank you, Margaret.
Good answer.
Love what you're doing there.
Thanks.
Jonathan, this is being live streamed on the internet, so we've got audience watching from around the world.
That's so cool.
How many viewers right now?
Wow, Jonathan.
It's 13. It's a massive amount.
Everyone say hi.
We're reaching East Coast. So, are there any questions from the web?
There's a shameless plug, but...
So those of you watching on the web, feel free to type in the chat room and we'll field your questions.
I love it.
John is someone that I've met over Twitter, and we've had a few opportunities to meet in person. John Ng is someone I've corresponded with email and
phone
call. We're meeting for the first time.
That's great.
So it's a great connector. I mean, that's how I do what I do is email or phone call really can connect us. We don't have to be isolated. That's the number one challenge for us as English pastors or English leaders. The second challenge that I hear across the board, even among the so-called accomplished and best, is everybody's looking for a role model or a mentor.
Yes, amen.
And I'm very grateful for how Faith is opening themselves again and hosting these gatherings. But it takes your initiative to engage mentoring.
Amen.
If they take initiative, then it's discipling or brainwashing. No, just teasing. Yes, John.
Just a real quick question. What do you notice in terms of like ideas in terms of second generation or first generation? The fear of engaging ideas outside of immediate context, Like, a lot of what I've noticed is a lot of Asian American churches tend to only focus on ideas that are within their own sphere, and they're not willing to engage, like, outside of it. Like, one thing that I noticed for me, like, what came alive for me was, like, you mean we went to the idea camp and just being able to engage people with different thoughts. If you don't know what the idea camp was, this crazy innovative, like, all these innovative thinkers coming together just to engage all these different ideas. But I just noticed that a lot of Asian American churches, or really there was people from first gen there, really resistant to new ideas. But I was wondering if you could speak into what you see in terms of that resistance.
Yeah, the web address is theideacamp.com. It was a free conference with top speakers like Irwin McManus.
Yeah.
It's all recorded online. You can watch those videos, but it's kind of the unconference for us as a church. Really awesome. And actually, this conversation would be so much more meaningful if we had first-generation leaders here, and we can engage them in dialogue. I'm going to share an example after I speak to this. Ministry is very consuming, and so whether you're in an ethnic ministry or even some of these megachurch ministries, it takes all your energy and focus just to do what you're doing decently well. And so you don't have the time, energy, and bandwidth to pick up your head and look around what's happening. I've been given the luxury, because of major donors and their generosity, to look around and tell your stories and pass them along to you. But I think it's a matter of time and energy on the first, across the board. Secondly, we've inherited a tradition of being suspicious of other kinds of churches. And that comes from, you know, particular denominations or particular convictions. Next generation is very open to the kingdom of God approach, that the body of Christ is going to look different, and whether you're charismatic or cessationist, fundamentalist, or reformed. There's still things that we can come together on because of Christ, and you know, that shift in thinking will open you up to learning from others who are also on the same team. We're on the same team, right? But the illustration I was going to share in terms of first and second generation, and we can take that conversation where you want, because you're actually, many of you are in that context, is there's the new book from Malcolm Gladwell, Outliers. Have any of you heard or read that? Okay, there's a chapter in that book that talks about Korean Airline and how many crashes they were having because of the indirect communication where the co-pilot couldn't speak to the senior pilot, partly because of Korean-Asian hierarchy. But as soon as they addressed that and allow freedom for people to communicate, and the co-pilot could alert situations that were problematic to the senior-ranking officer, the crash record went dramatically down. I use that as a picture of what Asian culture may be doing in the church context. Mm-hmm. That because we have this hierarchy, it impedes our open communication to really work through the issues that need to be worked through. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be more dramatic, but yes, Curtis.
Have you done any research and study on other things that measure the state of the church and its spiritual health, other than size, age? Are there things that, like, are all these Asian churches just drawing from other churches, and that's how they get started? Is that their major constituent? How are they doing in evangelism? You know, the online discussion about people going into ministry, missionaries. Is there any kind of study or
I don't know of a lot of studies, and one of the things about academia is there is a good number of theses and some dissertations that are studying Chinese American and Asian American ministry and churches and models and discipleship, but academia kind of locks that knowledge away, so you have to matriculate to get access to that information, and for me and you as lay leaders, we can't get to that, and so I don't know what's there. So there maybe have some people that have done that. The studies, you know, studies in the academic realm seem to only have a focus group, and it's very hard to pull off research that spans the country or a generation. And so I think the stories of Transform Lives speak for the effectiveness of ministry, and of the handful of churches I've shared with you, and I can't say all 100 of the English-speaking Asian-led churches that I've found have a particularly awesome spiritual life reaching the unconverted, but many of them certainly have very compelling stories of how God's ministered to them and brought people to Christ. And so it's worth doing. Yes, Jerry?
DJ, are you tracking at all the leadership in these kind of churches or so, or even in the other Asian American churches, and are they coming out of ethnic ministries, or are they, you know,
some aren't.
Yeah, the whole discussion about, you know, why aren't more ABCs going into ministry?
Yeah, some are, some aren't. I'm not sure the research is going to really give us any particular magic insight, but just that, hey, if we give permission for God's Spirit to start new things, I think we'll see a lot more happening. There does seem to be a decline in Asian Americans in seminaries, particularly English speaking. And I'm not sure why that's happening. The way I interpret that is what we had in the late 80s or early 90s. I'm an early 90s seminarian. Is that was kind of a glitch in the curve. Rather than saying, oh, we're on this rise and something happened that caused people to stay away from seminary.
So that's a decline.
So that's why I interpret that. I'm not sure knowing why helps us. Yes?
As I'm thinking about, so a lot of Margaret's here with the graphic. I work for Asian American Ministries with InterVarsity.
Great.
And I think the one thing that we, as I'm sure Epic would agree, is that InterVarsity and Crusade, while we are parachurch organizations, we are not church. And one thing that I think a lot of, especially in Southern California, where there's so many Asian Americans, so many Asian people, and so many different Asian fellowships, is that partnership, if you're having trouble with developing an English-speaking ministry, or you're having trouble trying to figure out what that looks like, there are, I'm sure that on the local college campus, there are parachurch organizations that would love to work with you. They would love to share resources and love to share ideas, because I'm thinking, like, I'm out in Missouri, so I have a different, different experience, but I'm trying to figure out how to get my students into church. Because we are not church. We never claim to be, and we don't want them to think that InterVarsity is the end-all, be-all. And so it would be great if we had resources, if we were connected to a local, there aren't any local Chinese churches in the great state of Missouri. Or the
why are you out there?
Because Jesus said so. But I think that's not an uncommon situation. And I think that there are parachurch organizations, whether it be NAVS or Crusade or InterVarsity, that have Asian American ministry that would love to be connected with each and every one of your churches here.
Yeah.
And if the churches are willing to reach out and start a partnership, I mean, that's you want a good way to reach out to Asian Americans. I mean, we've got them in big clumps just waiting to be ministered to. Multi-generational church way, because we only have them for 4 years, but if you get hooked into a church, then you have them for a lifetime.
Amen. Thanks for the offer. Yes.
Lawrence Tom online asks, do you see AA ministries becoming irrelevant? Is it already happening? And does it matter that Chinese or AAs are blending more globally? AAs want to blend. I'm not too sure.
Actually, what I'm seeing is the next generation doesn't like any labels.
Yeah.
So they don't want to be called ABC or Asian American or multi-ethnic. They just want to be people. I'm not sure they want to be called next gen or postmodern. I mean, they're just people. And they just have this open view of how ministry can flow to people. And labels are very meaningless. Models. Models are helpful, and there's no perfect model. And so they're willing to learn from models, but they're much more sensitive to contextualizing. And that's the work that needs to be done for those of us on the front lines of ministry. And unfortunately, seminary didn't teach me that. I don't know about yours. I think we had 2 hours about exegeting culture. And we need at least 2 years, especially in the fast-changing culture we live in. Food's here. Do we want to talk over food? I'm happy to continue our conversation. Whatever you'd like to do.
Well, why don't you take 10 more minutes and then we'll have
okay. As long as it didn't get cold. Aaron.
You said that one of the things that we should try to do is instead of trying to, as leaders, keep those that are already in our church community there, that our focus should be, vision should be starting to reach out. So you've talked with quite a few people in our next generation. I know they don't like labels, but what have you found that for outreach and evangelism to the next generation, what have you found, maybe you can share with us some of the more creative and successful ideas of reaching out and evangelism?
Okay. It's not an either or, first of all. It's not rather than trying to get people in. And reaching new people. We need to do both. Where I'd like to bring a little more balance is we can give ourselves permission and perhaps put some resources behind figuring out what's going to be effective in reaching the next generation. These are kind of the characteristics, just giving permission to risk and giving permission to fail so that our shame-based dark cloud doesn't hang over us. So if something doesn't work, it's okay. And just try new ways of reaching the next generation. Typically, people have done service projects in a more culturally relevant kind of way to reach people. So belonging happens before believing, to borrow Mosaic's term. Mm-hmm. So as you serve together with non-Christians, conversations can arise for the non-Christian to ask you, what's the hope within you? And that's the open door to talk about Jesus, 1 Peter 3:15, right? So service is a huge open door. Events that aren't so churchy. So rather than getting people to come to a gospel camp or a revival meeting, you can have a concert with great music. You can have open mic night where the pastor is speaking in a pub and addressing issues of felt needs. Those are things that can work in certain contexts. So something that works in New York or DC may not work here. And that's where your discerning and reading the culture really makes a difference. So those are two quick examples. Yes, Art.
What would you, as far as you looked at what you understand, what would you say are some of the major obstacles for Asian Americans unchurched coming into the church? What are, you have like a top three or something that, from their view and perspective, how they look at the church, whether an Asian American church or ethnic church, they say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with it. What are the obstacles that you look
at? Obstacles specific to ABCs?
Or just ABCs or
Asian American second gen?
Yeah.
Well, I'll speak to it generically. I mean, culture flows in and out. So whether it's ABC or Asian American or just plain vanilla American, there's a book by Gabe Lyons and Dave Kinneman titled Unchristian. That's kind of a broad study of the next generation, 18 to 25, and what their perception is of church. And so for the population at large with next gen, they see the church as anti-gay, hypocritical, judgmental, and boring. So if you can address those four, that'll open the door pretty wide. How's that?
Great.
Yes?
Could you maybe just address for a moment what happens when the English ministry, if you're in a townhouse model, you have English and Chinese ministry. At some point, if the English group surpasses the other group in terms of influence, and so now you have the opposite. You have the dominant group being English-speaking, the minority group being Chinese-speaking. How does that change the game?
Sometimes it doesn't change the game. actually, probably there's more cases where it doesn't change the game than when it does change the game, when the English congregation becomes larger than the Chinese, partly because of our culture and tradition. But there are some where the leadership will be handed to the English leadership. This isn't a perfect example, but Daniel Ng comes from Boston Chinese Evangelical Church, and the senior pastor there, Steve Chen, is an English pastor who's been there 25, almost 30 years. And so a transition happened where he was given leadership of the whole church, even over the Chinese congregation. Not because English became larger than Chinese, but because of his faithful service over the years, and he understood the townhouse model and respected the townhouse model, he was given leadership. Is that a fair representation? Yeah. I've never been to Boston. I've been all over the country, but not Boston. So I haven't had the opportunity to see it firsthand, but I hear amazing folklore about Boston Chinese Evangelical Church.
I don't know if this question relates, but what are some healthy models of, let's say, the overseas and the English ministries working together in a healthy church model? What would that look like?
So what would a healthy intergenerational church that's effective with Chinese and English look like? Actually, I asked Daniel that yesterday on his blog. And there isn't a perfect one, but there are some pretty good ones that are considered healthy, including Boston Chinese Evangelical Church, Chicago, what's the name? CCUC?
Union.
Chinese Christian Union Church in downtown Chicago.
San Diego has a good one.
Which one is San Diego?
Chinese
Evangelical Bible Church?
Chinese Evangelical.
Chinese Evangelical Church? Yeah. So those are the few that get highlighted. In terms of Korean American Open Door Presbyterian Church in Herndon, Virginia, it's featured in the book Growing Healthy Asian American Churches by InterVarsity. It's got a whole featured chapter. The secret there is the pastors meet in fellowship and have friendships together at least 4 days out of the week. They do lunch together almost every day. They take fishing retreats together. So relationship really builds a bridge for how things work well together. Relationship and respect, I think in terms of principles, how do you get that? Respect, allowing each other to have freedom, because you have a greater mission and a greater purpose for the kingdom. That there's a shift, if I say it this way, you have a greater love for people than you do for tradition. That's quoted Irwin, I think, Irwin McManus. So that's a huge shift. If we can let go of our grip on tradition and imposing it on others, which is kind of a Jewish culture thing, you know, it's in the Bible. If we can let go of that a little bit and allow the Spirit to do new things, I think that will contribute to a healthier approach. Curtis and then John. Okay, fine.
Charles Lee asks, should Asian American churches consider name changes to be more inclusive of other groups outside of their ethnic group, pros and cons?
Yeah, there are a few examples of Chinese churches and Korean churches that have dropped the ethnic name from their church name, and that's typically a couple years in the works, at least 3 to 5 years maybe, of leadership conversation. And well, the pro is the potential of reaching more people, but a name change isn't going to just do that.
Amen.
You actually have to change your philosophy of ministry and the approach you take towards non-Asians. And then the con is, if you will, then you might not reach as many who are your same ethnic group because they don't see it in your church name. But if they're that concerned about church name, then I don't know if those are the people you want to reach.
I guess as I dialogue with a lot of young people,
yeah.
They are not interested in program. They want to grow, and they want to have a mentor. They're desperately looking for mentors,
yes,
to show them how to live,
yes,
each day. Relationship. You know, as you emphasize, one church has a great emphasis on relationship. They long for the relationship.
Very much so.
Yeah. They want have a, so much for the relationship. They are not interested in any kind of programs, really.
Yeah.
Show me how to live, walk with the Christ each day.
Amen. You know. Right. So not only are they not interested in programs, they're probably actually next gen is less interested in buildings as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those are both huge cultural changes for the typical intergenerational ethnic Asian Chinese church. Sometimes I'll jokingly say, you've seen one Chinese church, you've seen them all. There's kind of some truth to that. Anyways, Waylon, I'm seeing a signal here. So.
Yeah. I think we got to start eating because we promised the church would be 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, you can please continue your conversation afterwards. And then, but just remember, we have such a diversity right even here in this room. Some come from a very, very culturally Chinese churches. Some have moved way out, to the other end. And that's okay. But share your views and share your ideas. I think that's important. And while you're eating, just continue your conversation because I think that's important. And I hope, I don't know where God's going to lead this, but we've been trying to meet either quarterly or so. And if there's certain topics that you're interested in, let us know. And we will try to work on that and see if we can, meet those needs. So I'm going to ask David Wu. He's the only other retired guy in this in this area. To just say a word of prayer and give thanks. For
if I pray, can I make an announcement?
Sure, sure.
For the wives, you as pastors, you have a hard time, but you know the wife has a harder time. And nobody ministers to the pastor's wives. And so there has been thought of maybe the pastor's wives getting together monthly or whatever you can fit into your schedule. And my wife, Priska, she's a retired pastor's wife, so she's gone through a lot of the pains and hurts that you're presently going through. And she's interested in meeting new people as well. And so if you're interested, let her know when or what or what. We don't know if this will come about, but if you're interested and if there are enough people interested, possibly we can do something, or she can do something. And so that's an announcement.
And she's a great counselor.
Yeah.
She's very wise.
She's a marriage and family counselor.
Yeah, she's very wise.
Yeah. Okay, and then that's where the Holy Spirit speaks to me a lot.
if any of the women want to meet together, why don't we have them meet over here and eat? In this corner here someplace.
Okay, and they can talk about that.
If they want to do that.
Okay, sure. Okay, let's pray. Lord, it's been good to be here. And we know it's not by chance, but your Holy Spirit led each of us here personally. And that you have spoken to us in various ways, meeting us where we are in our own particular needs. And we pray, Lord, that we might not just listen to your voice, but we might obey you as you prompt us and lead us in various directions. Thank you, Lord, for bringing DJ here and his sharing with us. Thank you for his ministry. We pray that you'll bless his ministry and use him, Lord, to bring forth much fruit for your kingdom. And for each person here, Lord, that we might be faithful in doing your work and our ministries might be blessed and bring forth fruit for you, Lord, so you might be honored. Thank you, Lord, for making all this possible, for all those who have worked hard in bringing about this meeting. We give you thanks, Lord. Thank you for the food you provided and your faithfulness in providing our every need. And how you provide exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, the food is being...